When the people of God sat down around the campfire at night, sharing the stories of faith, passing them down from one generation to the next, it was the original Sunday school, that they shared those moments that had shaped the landscape of Israel's history. They talked about slavery in Egypt, living in captivity in a foreign land. They described the attack of the Assyrians on northern Israel, where people were taken from their homes, living elsewhere, or just controlled by a foreign oppressor. And they discussed the Babylonians and the threat, where they came in, took Jerusalem under siege, and destroyed the temple of God. That it was one of the saddest moments in all of Israel's history when the temple was destroyed, because it was the house of God. It was a symbol of God's faithfulness to the people in the past and for the future. And when it was destroyed in about 587 BC, the people were taken to live in Babylonia, controlled by others, questioning, what does a life of faith mean here, because they had been displaced and the temple was destroyed? It was the story of exile and homecoming. And they were exiled yet again. They would have to wander through the wilderness yet again to find their way home. And we find this story of exile and homecoming throughout all of Scripture, even in the New Testament. In fact, the parable that Jesus tells about the lost sheep, where the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one who was lost or exiled in order to bring it home, is again a story of homecoming. And this story of exile and homecoming and the threat of the Babylonians is the story we find in the background of Jeremiah's life. And he was a prophet, forced to speak truthfully about hardship and loss, that people looked to him, wanting him to say that the Babylonians would not ensnare Jerusalem and everything would be okay. But prophets have never been able to just say what we want to hear. So Jeremiah resisted this calling. That God said, I have put my words in your mouth. And Jeremiah said, hold on, I'm just a boy. I'm not old enough to take on this job. That like Moses standing there barefoot in front of a burning bush, or Isaiah holding that hot coal to his lips, or Paul looking up at that bright light on his way to Damascus, Jeremiah was taken aback and he hesitated. But perhaps this is actually helpful to us, even essential, because it reminds us we cannot do this alone. We are never meant to stand too tall to where we're unable to look down and see those who are hurting the most. We're not supposed to pretend as if we have all the answers and we end up stop listening for the voice of God. That feeling too confident can get in the way of cultivating a heart of faith. And faith can be defined in many ways, all of which are helpful to us. Like the theologian Stanley Hauerwas, who says, faith is but a name for learning how to go on without knowing all the answers. Or the preacher Carl R. Marnie says, faith is the inability to walk away from. Or the poet W.H. Auden, who says, to choose what is difficult all one's days as if it is easy, that is faith. Or Professor John Carleton, I am learning anew what it is to live by faith, for where life matters most and runs deepest, our vaunted self-sufficiency matters the least. That faith is not a solo performance. Or the writer Flannery O'Connor says, what people don't realize is how much religion costs. They think faith is a big electric blanket, when of course it is the cross. That in order to embrace all that is faith, listening might be the most important. It is not overconfidence in the face of a calling, it is trust. That faith in many ways is like that dreaded process of creative writing. Sitting there with a blank page in front of us and endless possibilities, not knowing where to start or where to go after the first sentence. William Stafford, well-known poet who taught creative writing, talked about what it was like to teach his students this process. He says, they want a wilderness with a map. But what about errors that lead us to a new start? That sitting there with the blank page in front of us and endless possibilities, we are to make our way through the wilderness without a map, listening for the voice of God as the people of God did. And yes, along the way, there are those errors that we face, but by the grace of God, they lead us to new beginnings. That is the story of faith. It is the story of exile and of homecoming. And this can happen to us even close to home. It did for that leader of the synagogue who was there that day when Jesus stood up to teach. That Jesus was teaching that day on the Sabbath, talking about all of those lessons and stories of faith that have been told around the campfire for generations. Talking about how God created all of us, how God is love, how God hears our cries. And then in walks this woman who's been crippled for 18 years. And Jesus says to her, you are set free from your burden. That he was just acting on everything that he had been teaching. But then the leader of the synagogue stands up and condemns him, criticizes him for this. That the leader just thought, well, maybe Jesus mixed up his calendar. That maybe he thinks it's Monday or Tuesday or any other day, but this is the Sabbath and no work is done on this day. Well, like Jeremiah, Jesus has to say what is hard to say. He asked the leader, do you not untie your donkey and lead it to water on the Sabbath? But on this day, you will not offer grace to this woman? That he was standing too tall to look down and see the needs of the vulnerable. He felt as if, after a lifetime of study and service, he had all the answers, so he could not hear the voice of God. That one of the most dangerous forms of exile that we can experience close to home is when we confuse faith with pretense. Pretending as if everything is okay, that it is the facade of superiority. It's feeling as if we always must sound like we are right. It is pretending that we have a map for the wilderness. So we stop listening, which just might be the only thing required for faith. And breaking through that exile of pretense is authenticity, an openness, a willingness to listen for God's voice and to reach out and care for the needs of others. Howard Thurman, that wonderful prophet, person of deep authenticity, an African American in the early 19th century, a writer, professor, theologian, preacher, and activist. His work has shaped generations of civil rights leaders. He was a mentor to Martin Luther King Jr. And one day he asked a very odd-sounding question. He said, "Are you a reservoir, a canal, or a swamp?" Now, swamp has a pretty negative ring to it. It's a harsh environment, hot, muggy, full of mosquitoes, and it's that way because there's an inlet for the water, but no outlet. That the water comes in, but it cannot go out. It just sits there, stale and lifeless. Well, a reservoir is just the opposite. It is a holding tank. Flowing, living water cannot get in. It is filled artificially or by rain. It only has an outlet. That water goes out, but water cannot naturally flow in. Neither of those is helpful for the journey of faith. We cannot have an inlet without an outlet. We cannot just absorb more, no matter how good those things are, without it going somewhere. And then we cannot just have an outlet where we give and we are never replenished. We cannot run on empty. Like the canal, though, we need an inlet and an outlet, a receiving and a giving, where we listen for the voice of God, which may change the direction of our lives. And then we are open to connecting with others, reaching out to care for their needs, or just celebrating those moments of joy that matter the most, that ring of God's goodness. That returns us home. That sitting there in front of the blank page with endless possibilities, we make our way through the wilderness without a map. That we listen for God's voice, who will always, always lead us forward. Amen.